So, yeah, and we don't have copies of the minutes.
So,
meeting come to order. Emily emailed and said she took tomorrow half an hour ago, so she decided she can't take it. So, we are where we are.
Dave's on a hunting trip.
And, yeah, it's
terrifying. Right, can I make one suggestion in the order of things?
Yeah.
I was wondering if for Barry's benefit, if we ought to move utility tax to the third item, because I don't know whether he cares to sit and listen to that or not, but if you'd rather not, you can... Okay, I was trying to give you a chance to get out of here.
No,
there's a resonating store from the
Sound
Mall Trail.
Don't
start with Sound.
Is that the bicycle
back
then?
Yeah.
Make sure that it's like,
I could
ride.
You got to slip over there for that.
Not just, great bicyclists. Yeah. Rotten bicyclists should be able to do it too.
Well, if we don't need to, then we won't do that. So the minutes, we need to approve the minutes.
They are here.
How come you have
them? All right, well, we all haven't looked at them.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at my email this afternoon. I didn't.
I'm getting this online.
This is on the agenda.
Yeah.
I gotta go. Oh.
So you have to go to the agenda.
I just thought we'd get copies. I did the last. So I didn't make a copy.
No, we said that, yeah. Roz is making them. So we'll have to do the minutes next time.
It's no big deal. Just
I don't want us to go through them over because in the past we actually got criticized for not putting minutes up in a reasonable time. So we don't want to drag them out for months. So we'll postpone that. And so the items to talk about substantively are the recommendation on the tax and highlighter issue, and then to begin talking about some detail regarding the stormwater project here. So, is there anything else anybody wants to talk about today? Those are the main subjects.
I thought we were
going to
study up on
that
swim stuff too.
That's what we are.
Swim book.
Swim book.
I thought we were getting homework or something.
Paul, you're supposed to ask your questions.
Oh, right. God. I thought we were only going to read five pages at a time or something.
I'll raise something, I guess. This,
wait a minute. Is
this new business, maybe?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what agenda I didn't want to do. Where are the agenda items to talk about? Do you have new business meeting you want to bring up?
Just something I'd like to visit with the committee about for 5 minutes.
All right. So we'll put that after the others. We'll put that into the comments for good order, which is kind of central making. Okay. All right. So then we have public comment. Robert, do you want to talk about anything, or do you want to? I know you sent us the committees and comments on fire everything. Do you want to wait till we talk about that? I'd be happy to have you talk about that.
If that's okay, sometimes committees just want to talk about it, sometimes you can try and meet.
I'd rather, if you want to talk about something unrelated to the agenda topics, great. When we get to the agenda topics,
I won't make points for the public.
All right.
One of the things that I'm hearing from this new committee, some of the new members, is balancing of the general fund. And that's, I've got to be polite here, but the general fund has got about $12 million in it at the end of the year. And the city, it's not a delicate balance of operation with the general fund, and Andy knows it's probably better than anyone else in the city council. Revenues go up and down all the time. It depends on the economy. The city gets 40 or 50 different taxes from different things. You never know, how the economy is going to do. So when it comes down to a case of, well, we're going to take X number of dollars that might affect the general fund, then we have to find a balance. I don't see that as being the role of the utility advisory committee, because it's not a delicate balance, quite frankly. There's, look, it's got $3 million in contingency reserves, and it's got, you know, a lot of money in the general fund. So I just want to simply make the statement that I've heard that a couple of times, and I don't think that's the role of the committee.
Noted.
Yeah, so I'd kind of like to respond to that. Just from the standpoint of, I fully agree with you, but on the other hand, the reason being quite simply because we submitted a recommendation to council back in December and they wouldn't even look at it. So I think what we're trying to do is saying, okay, what you basically said is we don't come up with something more palatable to you, you're not going to even pay attention to it.
And actually, I wasn't even addressing that particular. I don't have any problem, you know, maybe making that recommendation to them, but I just don't think it's. I mean, you can make a recommendation anything you want. You can totally invite your committee, and I don't think that's happening, especially if the city manager says, this is the way I would like to do it, if it doesn't come back in, you know, and make comments on that. But,
but I think all our comments related to the general fund were the impact to it related to the utility tax. It was in the same sentence when we were talking about the two.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying.
Taxes and, you know, there's a lot of things that could come into play for it.
Right. But I think the committee's reference to general fund was always in the context of the utility tax.
Okay.
And I think the direction we were going was to say that without something that's more palatable, they're just not even going to pay any attention to us.
Okay, well, I'm, my comment is, when we move on, is it begs the question that has been involved in this committee forever, which is, what is our obligation? Is it just to the utilities without looking at other things, or is it other things and the utilities is our name, so it's the bulk, the majority, focus, whatever, we've got to think about other things. And so, to me, when we do talk about the utilities, that's important. It is our primary focus. It's not, to me, it's not our exclusive focus, and therefore we have to think about what it does to the other things, including the rest of the city.
I would agree
so,
with that.
So, in that sense, that's what I consider.
Can I comment as well?
Of course, you can comment.
I feel like I have a little problem with the people's initiatives that go on in the state to begin with, because I think when you make a recommendation without any context, a lot of the times it's a ridiculous recommendation. I mean, you do have to look at the context, and you need, and that's what we need the city council to do. I mean, we're just a small cog in the wheel here. They're going to have to look at the greater context of the budget. We're just suggesting things, working with the city manager, that might make our suggestion more palatable, in my opinion, because if we were just saying do this and not considering how it might affect the city council's larger budget problems, I it seems a little myopic.
Does this really discussion kind of roll the committee stuff, and maybe actually that's the kind of thing I want to talk about, but if I can do it now, but before then.
Well, let's hold till later. Okay. Right, we'll just take his comment.
Yeah.
And then
not go too
accomplish far. What we have to do with our agenda, and then we can get to that. That's okay. Okay, let's go to the next two issues, which is the potential recommendation about utility tax and fire hydrant. And as I said, I drafted something. And as I also said, I sent it to Jeff, and Jeff made some good comments, sent it back. And that's what you all upset now, I guess. For whatever reason, the ones with your comments got up on the.
You know, it's funny because I don't see the edited version when I pull it. Do you see it as with all the edits? Yeah, I know. Did you see all those edits?
Did you do those edits?
Yeah, those edits are mine. But when I try to save it, there's a setting you have.
Right. So I sent all the black. He sent to Jeff and said, Jeff, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And he said the edits back. And then I said, geez, Jeff, I like them. Mm-hmm. So I sent them to Roz. I said, Roz, this is the one I want to send to all the committee. So that's what happened. I didn't expect it to go out with your edits. I guess it's not a big deal.
I know, but I don't
understand. I didn't see this. I thought I saw your email, but I didn't see it.
That's fine. The point was only that what I sent out was my thinking with this.
And I think the reason you're not seeing it is not because they weren't contained in it. It's because you have to go into Word and check markups or something.
Yeah, you can. There's that thing in there where it says show markups.
Yeah.
And all that stuff will show.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, now it's in the Adobe. Oh, okay. So
anyway, it doesn't make any difference. He made some suggestions which I thought were helpful, and so here we are.
So you've got a clean copy.
Andy, are you going to have him go through those? I mean, I've got. Is there a handy copy machine? Or is that not the case?
I thought we'd get copies. Last time I made a copy, and they were. Thank you.
Okay. Well, presumably you guys had a chance to look at this. So the question is, number one, do we want to prepare a written recommendation? Last time we had a straw vote on our first position, and then we want to put it right. So now that I've had some writing, if none of us are ready and we want to make changes to this so that it's something that we can all vote on tonight. That's the question.
I think I agree with the idea of making a recommendation, and I'd like to, have us go through this, and that's what you're proposing to do, right, Andy? And
hear what Jeff's changed.
Because I can't see what they say. Maybe now I can.
The thing you sent out included his changes.
Okay, so never mind.
Yeah, I don't. What you saw was the thinking of two of us.
Okay. So we don't.
His changes are something we already read. For example, he put the proper amount of money into the thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure that line adds anything, though. I kept reading it. Doesn't the line before it say that?
No.
It says it's inequitable.
Let's look at the first paragraph. Is that okay?
I liked it how it was originally written, but I don't have any objection to that line. It just seems to me that it's a little repetitive. I'm not sure what it's adding. We said it was inequitable, which is sort of like no benefit or consideration. But I have no objection to
that. What's the purpose of that, maybe, that line?
Because the original information we put together, we came to the conclusion, at least we suspected that maybe the utility tax originated as a general, as an overhead offset for services paid for by the city that applied to the utilities that weren't being charged directly to the utilities before they got into the whole cost allocation thing. There was some sense in reading the early resolutions that the utility tax was compensation, but now it's all being fully allocated. So now we can't see that there's any consideration for the 6% being paid. The utility receives nothing back for its 6%. Is what I'm trying to make clear. That it's not like. The city water system is receiving something from the city that the North Bainbridge water system isn't receiving from the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Without paying.
I think it needs more clarity there.
Why don't we change the word? It says the UAC could determine. Maybe you ought to say, instead of determine, just use the word see. The UAC could see no benefit or consideration for tax being paid on utilities. for this subset of is it a subset of ratepayers? For the subset of the island?
Yeah. Not a subset of ratepayers, because that would be like there's a larger group of ratepayers in this context.
That's because
there isn't.
The other guys aren't paying the rate yet.
There's the subset being city, those on city utility versus other utilities. Ratepayers, in the broader sense, would be everybody who's on a water system or a utility.
Well, I think they'll get the gist of it.
But
maybe the. And I also want to do this. Let me do
but
this.
But I see.
I used the word for the subset of ratepayers. I think it could be moved to after the word consideration. So it should say UAC could see no benefit or consideration to this subset.
What do you want to say? In particular to this subset?
To this subset of the island population. For the tax being paid by the utilities.
That's good.
So by moving for the subset of ratepayers, by being at the end of the sentence, it kind of.
You want it closer to the thing it's modifying.
Correct. So the USC could see no benefit or consideration, and now we go to what? To the subset of the island, the tax being paid by the utilities. Or to the city's ratepayers, with tax being paid by the utilities. How about that?
You kind of lost me.
Yeah.
let me read it. UAC could see no benefit or consideration to the city ratepayers, city's ratepayers, for the tax
being paid
by the utilities.
Okay.
But when you just say the city's ratepayers, I kind of like the subset, like something like that. You know, what does that mean, city's ratepayers?
City utility.
You're not defining it.
City utility. So I think you're right. City utilities ratepayers.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, God, that's.
USC could see no benefit or consideration to the city's utility ratepayers. For the tax being paid by the utilities.
So that's different from
being
inequitable. So you're saying it's not just inequitable that they're not getting anything?
Well, that's why it's inequitable.
Well, one thing is it's not inequitably, it's part of comparative work. It's not fair to others. This point is you're not getting anything at all, whether it's, that's what he's talking about, consideration.
Yeah, it's kind of a different thought.
It is a different thought.
Like maybe they shouldn't be charging anything at all because they're not getting anything.
Not great. Well, that's what he's saying.
So you could see no benefit.
Could see no benefit or consideration to the city utility.
I would think it would be no particular benefit or consideration because you're distinguishing it from the rest of them. Or are we doing something different in this?
That's fine. Page 22. See no particular benefit or consideration to city utility ratepayers. Right here we go. So city utility ratepayers, the tax being paid by the utilities.
Yeah. The particular brings us back to the previous sentence.
City utility ratepayers. Mike, can't shorten that down. City utility ratepayers. It's a mouthful.
You could change it to utility ratepayers if you want to emphasize it's the city.
Yeah.
UAC could see no particular benefit or consideration to city utility ratepayers for the tax being paid by the utilities. There?
Yeah, without the clause at the end, it might be clear.
I'm moving the clause for the other end. Is that okay?
How about the text? Okay, I just wonder about, does the word paid assessed?
Yeah.
tax being assessed on new use utilities? Or is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're paid by utilities.
Okay.
You know. Yeah. I wrote it as a discussion document. Remember that.
Well, we accepted the comment. We accepted the concept. Mm-hmm. The words meant in the sentence.
Not all the concept.
All right, so the way we get out of the moment is you can see no particular benefit or consideration to city utility rate payers for the tax being paid by the utilities. You guys all right with that?
Yeah, good enough.
No, I'm just trying to figure out how to, if this recommendation, where did we make a recommendation? Recommended, okay, first sentence. Okay.
First sentence,
yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, just trying to make sure it's tied.
Yeah, I agree. All right, this would reduce revenue approximately $60,000 per year from the large number of records to 210 from the series.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at the budget.
Yeah, we need to confirm those.
What's that? Those numbers.
Because okay. I pulled them off of something that something was given to me, but I'm not sure.
I don't know what's in this year's.
That's the budget. That's approximate.
Mm-hmm.
No, right. Yeah. And I couldn't.
So we need to say approximately.
Well, it does say.
Because, I mean, they are approximately based on the percentage of rate revenue, so rate revenue changes. So those are not going to be exact.
No, in the second one,
though,
it doesn't.
What's that
now? It's in the second one, it says $112,000
annually
for fire hydrant costs.
That's specific.
That is different, and that's specific. So
it is specific. Every year it was 112, period.
No. And that's also based on revenue.
No. That's a fire, that's a cost that they did.
It's a fixed cost.
But they calculated 5% of that. That's not a line item in the budget. You can't see it. It's in the
So is that approximately?
Based on Ellen's email.
In Ellen's email, I had a specific number. I
didn't run this year.
You know, for the previous years.
Yeah. It's not that the change.
But how do you determine fire hydrant cost?
Because that was done by a study, and they came up with a number.
It's not a percentage number, though.
It's not a percentage number.
It's a flat number.
It was a flat number.
No, Barry doesn't think it's a flat number.
It was a flat number for a couple of years, like 112 for 2 years or 3 years, and we had an unfortunate outcome.
And why are those underlined?
What?
In the second paragraph?
Before you get to the second paragraph, let's finish the first paragraph. Do you know what the first paragraph? Because the first paragraph is. All right, now let's go to the second paragraph. First paragraph is the tax, second paragraph is fire hydrant. So, the 112, you know what I might be able to pull up that email. Anything else you have in there while I'm funding on this? I have a new phone, so this may take me longer. What else in that second paragraph?
Why are they underlined? Are those the change? Did you add
them to the job? No, the underline is just to emphasize that's a reduction in cost, not to the job.
You're talking about the bottom line, that second paragraph, so reduced expenditures. That's an underline just to emphasize that and compare the previous paragraph where we underlined reduced revenue.
I mean the purple underline.
Oh,
what
that's,
are we doing
that's the change. That's
those
change.
It's just changing.
Those disappear when that's the part of that. Track changes.
Right. Some of these aren't. So that's in there.
We ought to ignore that.
Right.
Because this is what Andy and Jeff agreed to send out.
Okay.
And that somehow slipped out before they settled between them.
Well,
this is your underlying
document. Yeah, those are my underlines. Just mm-hmm. a second.
We can ignore the underline.
Ignore that.
Okay.
Yeah. Except this underline here is in the original.
Yes.
That
is and we added the annually already. Okay. Right. Which I
agree to. All right. Anything else in here while I'm looking for Ellen's email? Are we okay with it?
Well, the hot potato is if you're ready for the next paragraph.
We're just coming up on the second one. I'm thumbs up on the second one. Somebody else has something.
Okay, well,
we can put 112 is the number. And my memory is it was like 110, and everything had changed.
It
was in that range. Yes, it is. The first year they did it, which was 2010, and then they changed it a year or two later, and then 2 years in a row was 112.
Since revenues changed a whole bunch in those years, I don't see the relationship between revenues and that amount.
It's not related to revenue. It's cost.
Well, we could be wrong a little bit, right. And nobody would care, right?
Yeah. Correct.
No.
You're right.
A few thousand is right.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is, though.
It's just a suggestion.
Okay, so we're okay with the second paragraph. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to the third paragraph. I suppose we ought to say an approximate net loss, just a net loss of profit, since we're using some approximate.
And you do cover the idea of just reducing the budgeted general fund expenditures by 158, which covers one of the possibilities for the city council to consider.
Right, they have a choice. They can reduce the budget then expenditure. They can. They want more little money. Mm-hmm. They could, and that's what the growth of the board could. They could apply to all utilities, or they could increase their taxes.
Well,
they could do lots of other things.
Theoretically, we put down two things they could do, but they could do a third or a fourth.
Well, that's a good point. You have to say
tourism tax or
right.
Or whatever else they deem necessary.
But these are the ones. Are these all the options that relate to utility?
Well, maybe we are
like tax on water utilities.
I think this is just the one that the city manager tiptoed around, the 3% thing. Just why that's in there, and then we've been discussing that quite a bit.
And just thinking out loud, what I thought I heard last time is that the stormwater utility excise tax has the virtue that the water utility tax doesn't hit people who have wells and so on. I mean, yeah. So it's a more comprehensive tax, and everybody pays it, right?
My only issue with that is, isn't it going to have to go up? Isn't that stormwater budget going to have to go up anyway? So if we're hitting it up for this,
My only problem, and I'll tell you this, is the addition of whether you use the, we believe, a 3% rate with the revenues, or I'm not sure we know that exactly.
Yeah. We believe it.
Well, it does say it would require some additional investigation.
Yes, I agree.
Well, we suspect.
I think we need to say it may be rather than believes. Maybe rather than would be. Maybe revenue neutral, but needs further investigation.
The basis of that was simply showed suggested 3%. I don't know.
It was my suggestion
that South Bainbridge, North Bainbridge, Meadowmere, and a couple others are at least equal in size to the current city utility. City utility is probably the cheapest of any of these utilities, and therefore it's pretty easy to draw the conclusion that you could recover at least the 3% you're going to lose on the city by hitting just those big four.
Do we want to change the word USA from UAC believe to say it is possible or something like that, or a preliminary calculation or preliminary estimate?
I would say maybe instead of would. Like, instead of would, say may.
How about that? Maybe the more
monitor?
Maybe.
Change would to may.
Yeah. Then we're not.
Basically 3% tax on maybe.
Declaring something we don't know.
What you're getting, your estimate is.
We we're guessing.
Maybe. I'm okay with that. Maybe.
I like your qualifier. I think it's regards to this investigation, we believe the roots are maybe revenue neutral. I think that's fair.
You know, between these alternatives, the one thing about levying the taxes, there's a kind of a potentially vocal constituency that private water systems, so on, to hear about this, the constituency for the stormwater utility is everybody. You know,
and
everybody and nobody.
Well, except the commercial, a lot of commercial property owners follow
we'll
that
care about
stormwater
that.
Charge through that 6% to 5% to 4% a day.
But don't we expect, though, that we're going to hear from the private water utilities or vocally? I mean, any kind of tax applies to them.
Absolutely.
And I think I should mention that I'm moving at the end of the month, so I'll no longer be on city water. I'll be on the Meadow Care.
Well, you have
so
to,
I don't know if I need to declare
yourself,
that wrong.
Yourself.
No, you don't need to. You know, it seems like if we could say something like if the city is concerned with loss of revenue, among the city could consider among other
alternatives. I like that.
Yeah, that acknowledges that there are other alternatives.
So the city could consider, among other alternatives, applying the excise tax to all utilities and increasing the excise tax on stormwater. All right, so Robert, you want to chime in on this? I know you had some thoughts, and we got to give our public comment, public an opportunity to comment on this.
Well, I sent a message. Did you read it or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you take the first paragraph, saying the taxes on sewer and water provide no benefit to the utility, how can you then argue that the tax on stormwater provides a benefit to the stormwater utility? You can't. Because it's simply a revenue collection by the city.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an unfairness with the city water in sewer ratepayers paying a disproportionate share of revenue to support the general fund, which you don't have with the sewer utility because it's all idle. But the fact that I think these taxes were established well before the cost allocation system was established by the city. Everybody knows, I hope, the cost allocation system after we went through the water utility. They didn't change the operations of the city. They just changed the cost allocation system, and that came down from 9-some people to 4.2 people. And if we look at the number of people being charged to the SWIM and the sewer, it's not as bad in the sewer, but it's probably worse in the SWIM. So the city is gaining a significant amount of revenue from the utility ratepayers by a cost allocation system. The question is, should you have both a tax and a cost allocation system? Because the tax, all the tax does is raise revenue, and it's no benefit whatsoever to the ratepayers. And the Park District, who is one of the largest stormwater ratepayers, although they had a big 5 years because they had two of the city's swim districts. And the school district, which is a very large payer, will definitely weigh in if you try to raise taxes on the swim. But why would you raise taxes when you already have a very, shall I say, generous cost allocation system supporting the general fund from the swim already? And I think that's the argument that you guys should be considering, but one of the arguments you should be considering. And the other thing is, if you go to 3% with water, or why will you charge SWIM 6 or even more? It's a revenue collection. you know, and it provides no benefit. It might be the easiest thing is to say, maybe we should charge everybody 6% on the water and just keep a flat 6% utility tax on the island. Because you can't make a distinguishing difference between swim and water, I don't think, on benefit, because neither the rate payers are benefiting one more.
Well, doesn't swim cost more to rent?
I think one way to think about this is the city needs revenues to conduct its activities. It levies taxes to do that. And so if you agree that the city needs to do these things, if you agree that there ought to be a process where they're accountable for, you know, spending that money and so on, then it seems to me, you know, if they use equitable means that more or less cover the island, and they have a variety of taxes to do that, then it's okay to tax the swim utility. It meets a kind of an equitable standard. But you might logically say it would be better to have the general revenues of the city that are paid for by other, you know, what are the other taxes, the D&O tax and so on. But maybe ultimately the way we postured this is those thorny questions are more for the council than for us. We already added the words among other, so we're giving them some ideas.
That also is all predicated on the if. If they need the money, then they can do something else.
But does anybody want to suggest that we not do that?
Not say what?
The swim alternative would be you could increase it.
Yeah.
So if somebody does want to swim.
Yeah. My problem is I think swim is in such bad shape financially that you, to increase the tax on it, it already can't do what it projects it needs to do. So I think the last thing we should do as this committee is be taking more money out of the swim and putting it in the general fund. Despite the argument that, you know, taxing swim is a good way to tax everybody, the concept is great, but swim doesn't have the money in it, and council's already ignored the impact from when they took the $300,000 a year from the roads and pulled that out of swim. And
the one virtue of having two among other choices, and you say two. If you say among other choices, and you say you only have one recommendation, it doesn't. Among other choices, we could all go to the Hala Cafe for lunch. I don't know. It seems to put too much focus on the one. So, but maybe there's an answer to that. But
I think.
But I kind of hear Jeff on.
I really hear Jeff, and it is my first question: Aren't they already going to have trouble? And if we're already going to have to maybe raise rates to just take care of it, are we going to want to do it to make up for losses to the general fund on top of that? Are people going to be outraged that their taxes went boom? Two things, but on the other hand, I don't see any reason not to bring it up and then for the city to consider, well, you know, that our next area of business is going to be, how are we going to make this thing work? And then the city to say, well, I don't know if politically we could do that.
The city can raise taxes, raise utility rates indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And if you eliminate money to qualify taxes, would it not be more fair and transparent to ratepayers to say, this is the amount of money we need to operate the utility, and that's the amount of money we're
going to
charge instead of the utility rate instead of
taxing?
And then you
get
rid of this whole tax issue.
So then it's not going to the general fund, it's just going to the utility.
I think when we list...
When we list an
alternative...
I'm just asking that question.
I think when we list an alternative, implicit in that is sort of a recommendation. And so I want to listen to further discussion of this, but I see where Jess is coming from. I mean, if we list alternatives coming from the UAC, we ought to at least say there wouldn't be an alternative there that we'd turn around and say, oh my God, they didn't do that. You know?
Yeah. Like, we don't really like that idea.
So if we don't like it, it shouldn't be there.
That's the
deficits.
Yeah, I remember that. I do remember that this is the next serious issue. And mm-hmm. I do have questions myself about that as a last suggestion. Because, as he says, are we really suggesting? Because it is double whammy. There is going to be an issue.
Yeah, I think our responsibility is to look after the utilities, not the general fund.
What do you think, Andy?
And that's where I'm really struggling on. You know, I understand the concept and the rationale behind the swim tax, but I think council's got to come to that.
We could get rid of the last line and just say the city's concerned about the loss from the general. The city could apply to it or come up with other ideas or other alternatives or try other alternatives.
I don't know.
Yeah, and not put that as one of the alternatives.
Well, I actually have I think we should say this. I think we should include it, but I just wrote a parenthetical down in the end of all this. So one of the alternatives is increasing the excise tax, which is an all-in utility. I just wrote parentheses. Though the UAC is concerned about an increased tax on this utility as it does not appear to have sufficient income, sufficient for that.
More to come later.
That helps, but well, here's a question. I mean, is it for you folks or someone that this swim tax is something that's going to be out there or something, or is it a fresh idea that would be coming from us? I mean, or is it something?
Actually, the idea has been around.
It's been around. Okay.
And Dave Ward suggested it several times.
Okay, so it's been around.
I don't think he likes it much. Saying that if you would do it, the better way is to apply island wide, which is this way, and is an easier thing to do than it is to try to apply it island wide to all the other water utilities, which is really.
All right, I'm kind of going with the parenthetical. However, this is going to run into big problems if you do this.
Well, it's got to be balanced, it's got to be considered in light of the projected revenue or income.
We know the projected revenue is in trouble. This is something that's going to have to come down the pike. If you're going to raise it now, you're going to be... you're going to get an island-wide rebellion.
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of buy into something that says, well, we understand... Well, you know, I'll recognize that an increase in the stormwater utility tax might be a more equitable approach. The current problem with that is the utilities on financial...
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
I like that.
So it kind of says that's an option, but says it's really not a good one right at the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with it. That's
Okay.
Yeah.
I can.
It's an idea that's been punted around and people are talking about it. It's a possibility, but it might not be a very good one.
Right. All right. So let's try to wordsmith that. So
let me get my page back from you. Sorry, I'm not missing anything.
Yeah. Okay. No. I agree.
So the way it is at the moment, it says increasing the excise tax on the stone ratio, which is an all-in utility. And I actually print that though the UAC is concerned about an increased tax on this utility, as it does, I said, does not appear to have sufficient income. Now, income is not the right word. Because
revenues.
But it's not just revenues, it's revenues versus expenditures that you need to spend.
Well, do we say that revenue versus expenditures?
There's other ways to say that.
Well, speaking kind of the idea and not the wordsmithing, I think it has this virtue, I wonder what you think, Jeff, that, okay, we don't ignore that idea because it's out there, but we raise our concerns with it. So it doesn't smack. As it does now, of being a recommended alternative,
yes.
But we're not hiding from that as an idea that's been recommended.
So let's say, as it does not appear to have sufficient revenue to accomplish its objectives, goals, missions.
To meet its financial needs, or meet its
revenue to accomplish what?
Financial needs are not validated. So
it does not appear to have sufficient revenue to what?
To meet its expenditures. To meet its projected expenditures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All right.
Yeah. So we're not really recommending that. We're just saying that's one of the ideas.
Its expenses are a whole other issue.
Yes.
But that's a whole other can of worms. We already know that that's a can of worms, right?
What we're really doing is saying, this is out there, it's been raised, but you got to really be careful if you're going to do it to make sure you're going to...
Yeah, because take a look at his budget, projected budget. Yeah.
All right, so the parenthetical now says, though the UAC is concerned about an increased tax on this utility, dash, as it does not appear to have sufficient revenue to cover projected expenses.
Okay. What's the first part? Increase in, okay.
So, increasing the excise tax in terms of the utility.
Well, or maybe, I'm going to try and wordsmith something else, because I kind of think maybe you could throw it out there. While an increase to the excise tax on the stormwater utility might pose an equitable solution, it is not a financially viable one in the current state of that utility, or something like that.
I don't like why, because that's a judgment.
Well, for me, it just goes a little too far. It's you go ahead and levy this tax and increase general funds for the.
That's good. That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think
you can just raise the utilities rates, and that costs is just the same thing instead of just playing this. Take the money in, put it in the general fund, put it back, and just raise the utilities rates and be done with it.
I meant the rates.
Okay. Well, can we paint a? I think the problem is we can't.
The idea is now the council's essentially they're 95% of the budget anyhow.
Yeah.
I doubt they're going to do anything. So
like it's. Was approved last month.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I think they did.
They've never done that quickly. It's always been a long
era. So, Ben, do you have a question?
They passed the ordinance last month.
I think we ought to speak to them anyway. I mean,
we're here. We've done this.
Because I think they're kind of throwing out, but it's all, adjustable down the road. Everything can be looked at again.
Well, there's always budget amendments, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, that was an argument when we got up and said you didn't put any money in for the dock.
Yeah,
and they said, we'll get to that one.
Well,
I think
we've done this work, we've done this analysis. And
we suggest a budgetary amendment that does this.
And if they're ever going to impose alternatives to the tax, they would have to do that later during the year with appropriate ordinance. So it's not something that's going to get impact.
Do you want to say that we suggest a budgetary amendment?
No. I just want to give it to them later this time.
Okay.
I just see the way of the records. I mean, look at this. Yep.
I'm good at it. I think we're close on the language.
Even if they don't do it this year, they can do it next year.
Of course.
Obviously you're going to have to keep it.
So why don't you reread what you wrote again?
I wrote...
Right from increase.
The way it is now, it says, consider among other alternatives, the first one, the second one, increasing the excise tax on the stormwater utility, which is an all-in utility. Though the UAC is concerned about an increased tax on this utility, as it does not appear to have sufficient revenue to cover projected expenses.
As it does not currently have?
As it does not appear to have
sufficient revenue to cover Bridget.
I'm good with it.
So we're not recognizing. You're cogitating on it. Let me answer Robert's comments about the tax on the stormwater being problematic because it doesn't have a benefit, where we're saying directly to the utility, which is terrific for you. But I view the tax really as nothing but a revenue source. And he's correct that some people, including me, when the tax was implemented back in the 90s, considered the utility tax as a substitute for an allocation to the utility of overhead. But in the 2000s, the city started allocating overhead as an expense to the utility, which is an authorized thing to do. It's not wrong with that. They did it. And they kept the tax on. So if you call it, the purpose originally was simply to cover overhead, and then you started allocating overhead, you simply sort of doubled up. But that's okay. You can do that. They should have just simply recognized the tax as a revenue source, which I think over time has become.
There's nothing illegal with them.
No,
using
it
as a
perfectly appropriate to do that. And however, one in his own mind justifies imposing it or keeping it. This council, since he's previous councils, clearly are using this as a revenue source and not as an overhead obligation. So I think that's okay. And the fact that it doesn't have a benefit, I think it's important to add the sentence that Jeff added to the first one about the utility of water and sewage utility tax, because that has been a discussion item over the years that there's a benefit that they're getting from that. And so it's good to say that it really doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with adding that. But that
it's
been,
just revenue.
That's never been a discussion about this point, at least I don't know what's my mind. So that's why I'm okay with moving.
Daniel Smith working at State Court. What the way they look on municipal utilities, and I would argue utilities operate for the benefit of the ratepayer and not the general public. And saying essentially, if you and I know a lot of cities tax utilities, and there's a significant case that has been passed by every county representative before the Attorney General and all did it on whether the utility taxes are appropriate and at what level. And we expected an answer on that about 3 months ago, and apparently this is very complicated because the Attorney General has not issued the opinion that it involves a whole case of it, whether they were using utility taxes and that they didn't. The auditor cut the utility tax, limited it, and they had to close their swimming pool and fire some of their city employees because of what the state auditor said, and they wanted to keep the utility tax. As you know, some utility taxes are 35 to 36% yeah. And so this is a major issue before the Attorney General right now. I don't know whether they,
I don't know where he comes up, because this state doesn't have any state income tax. So I imagine in a lot of states, you don't have to put the tax on the utility because you're getting funds from the central government of the state that helps the municipalities. Probably don't get as much here because there is no state income tax. So this might, I don't want to get involved in how this state, it's a big picture thing.
This is far away the most aggressive tax there is. It, no doubt about it. It applies to everybody, and anybody who wants to live because they need water, they have to pay a tax on it. But this, I understand this concept, but the fact is this is an authorized tax on utilities, and there's no limit on water and sewer and stormwater. And I can show you, Robert, I get them literally. almost every day. The cities around the state that are now, part because of the Apache decision, which are clearly saying we're going to increase utility taxes. Klamath, Ranger, I've got a half a dozen of them recently. Well, literally, I read the newspaper articles. They say, we're increasing utility taxes from 16 to 18% because we need two more police cars. And if we get more, literally, the general fund will need two police cars, so we're upping the tax on the utility to have the general fund money to buy two more police cars. And I've got four different cities. SeaTac. SeaTac is for the first time now going to impose a utility tax on its utilities because it says it doesn't have any money in the general fund. So that's what's going on. And all that's what big picture.
So philosophically, I don't like progressive taxes, but that is how the state runs.
That's right.
Okay. I will vote against it.
So we need to move on with this.
Well, we're there anyway. We're close.
So are you okay with the language? Do you want
to? I think so.
All right. So, just so you're clear, what we're going to do right now is I'm going to read you the changes, and then we're going to have a motion and a second approval. And if we approve it, then I'll make the changes tomorrow on this. And I'll send it to you all to send it to city managers and council. They can throw the short. Okay, so the one we have in front of you has a change in the second, in the first end of the first paragraph. It says the sentence is now reads, UAC could see no particular benefit or consideration to city utility ratepayers or the tax being paid by utilities. Then in the third paragraph it says, city implemented the above two recommendations at the same time, the impact of the general fund would be an approximate net loss of revenue of $158,000. And at the second bullet, it says if the city is concerned about the loss of revenue for the general fund, the city could consider, among other alternatives, first arrow, applying the excise tax. And this would require some additional investigation. The UAC 3% tax on all rate water utilities may be revenue neutral. And the second arrow says increasing the excise tax. And the parenthetical at the end says, though the UAC is concerned about an increased tax on this utility, as it does not appear to have sufficient revenue to cover projected expenses.
And maybe you used the word it, do you want to say swim?
Well, as this
sometimes it's confusing.
Well, so let's read it. Says, increasing the excise tax on the stormwater utility, which is an all-island utility, parentheses, though USC is concerned about an additional increased tax on this utility. I could say it on the stormwater utility.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
Swim.
Swim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
As it, then the it refers to stormwater. You want me to just say swim utility? Okay. Is that all right, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to make a motion.
I move we adopt it.
Second.
Any other comment? All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay.
So we're not going to come back to the sewer hookup question?
Oh, you mean the one on the south end?
Yeah.
Okay.
The question you posed to us about the...
Oh, yeah.
Dry compost.
Well.
Oh, I know what my question... Now I remember what I wanted to ask you about.
Yes.
So... if you live in a cul-de-sac, in this, well, let's say you don't live in a cul-de-sac, but you buy a lot in a cul-de-sac, and there's like 10 homes in this cul-de-sac, and they're all on septic, and because I can think of one offhand, and this empty lot you want to build on, but it this cul-de-sac feeds out into a main street that has a sewer line. And you're within 300 feet of that sewer line. Do you have to pay to go from that main street all the way down the cul-de-sac to your house to install that line? Wow.
Then you do a home, then you do a lake cover agreement.
Yes.
It says if anybody else hooks up, you have to pay.
So all the subjects available. Then
you have to
build.
And you have to what?
You have to build. Probably.
So in order to build on that, everybody. So in order to build on what? Holy cow!
Yes.
That's not unusual. That is unusual, and it's not on the coast side. That's the commercial area is the same way.
But yeah, late comers kind of play. It's determined to be benefit from that line of future. Essentially, recover from 15
years. I'm actually working on one right now where this Safeway built a shopping center, and the adjacent property owner. Going by adjacent property,
mm-hmm.
they had to build this water and sewer line to fill the Safeway. So, it fit all, even though it's adjacent property owner, will benefit. If it hooks up in 15 years, it will have to pay its share of that line. But if it goes beyond 15 years, it gets suddenly free.
Okay, well, I don't see, yeah, I guess I'm really struggling with how these requirements gel with our green island, because I don't see sewer as being green compared to proper septic.
Well, my friend, that's another topic.
I guess where I was trying to come back was to suggest maybe on this one particular unit that they have to pay half the hookup cost, a $3,500 deposit, if they don't want to hook up, and then but that reserves them the right to hook up at a future date. It just seems so onerous to pay the full $7,000.
Well, it's going to be $7,000.
Oh, I thought $7,000.
You realize what the issue is?
That's the participation. So they would pay the participation by the insurance, not pay the collection.
Oh, is that how we got to 7?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, 51.3 is the system participation. So that just buys them their capacity. Reserves them their
capacity.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you, again, working with utilities, some define them different ways. Some require them all be paid up front.
Yeah.
Some require them to pay only when they build. Some require them to pay half up front. It varies. And they also have different names, as I've said.
It just really strikes.
Well, yeah. So I mean, I was recommending they don't pay anything.
Oh.
The committee seemed to recommend we don't have to pay. So, but the council asked us to say my recommendation is we don't include that in the ordinance.
I just think it's a dangerous precedent. I just think people are going to start thinking about how to avoid different schemes.
Well, it's a very specific exemption, just for composting the code itself. I don't know.
You could also do the compromise.
Yeah. But then the other question you had about the whole policy of requiring people to connect to sewer systems, whether that's encouraging or not. That is something you can address in the next big plan, bring the sewer plant to it. That'll be a policy section. This group to say, we don't like that policy, we like it to be 100 feet, we like it to be whatever. That's still, you'll have a chance to take a shot.
Good. All right. Let's go to, I'm mindful you wanted to chime in on something.
Well, if my chiming in, this bike thing might interest me as well.
Let's start we're off.
So my new business item could come another time.
Let's chime in before we start picking up the spring discussion. Go ahead.
Oh, we're on swim now?
No.
I had something on a new business.
Well, let's go, since we haven't gotten into swim yet, let's go ahead and take up your topic.
Okay, well, maybe this is me bringing it up, and then we park it for discussion another time.
All right.
So this is a utility advisory committee, and does that mean it's comprehensive of the existing utilities,
or comprehensive of utilities services generally. You know, their telecommunications, electric service, and so forth. And so it seems to me it might be useful at one time a year or in something to have a discussion of the broader issues. I think right now we sort of, the committee deals with issues that are kind of brought to us by circumstance. So this is the big, the sort of other ideas, and then some of this is prompted because I participated in one meeting with the Barry Peters organized. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned his name because of, you know, I taint the idea and didn't know anybody, but I think it's a reasonable idea to have some role for the community in enhancing broadband utility service because it's not good, and it's compared to other communities. Have benefit from better, more comprehensive, more widespread high-speed connections for economic benefit and social benefit, and so on. So that's the basic question is discussion of broader issues, not necessarily brought to us by
He's pulling up our ordinance, which does, it was the council when he revised it, gave us some discretion to sort of to look at issues and go back and pencil and say, do you want us to move on?
The city shall make an urgent message to the city council that this issue is relevant to the operation and management policy of the city's water center stored in our utilities. It's a small city, not a big city, so it is.
Like, did we talk to Puget Sound?
You're on the
power and light?
The general subject of what is our role beyond the specific three utilities, which we could talk about forever, and at some point, and there's been some, there was a lot of debate, some contentious debate about that in the last couple of years. So, Mike, let's put it on our agenda to talk about, and at some point, clearly, we have to go back to the council. And say, Council, do you want us to spend time on this? Because we're advising it to you, Council. If you don't want us to, then great. If you'd like us to do that.
Well, and my point would be, too, you know, hobby horses and things, that it wouldn't preoccupy this committee. In other words, there would be some. But there would be, from time to time, as I think there should be, because this city, and that I can't read that very well, but I'm remembering it, I think, that we ought to be, if we have some expertise and they allow us the option, we ought to use that expertise to explore things to better serve this community with utility services. And that could be also regulating the other, in some way influencing the other providers of these vital services. So, water, sewer, electricity, and telecommunications are vital services in any modern community.
Okay.
That would include talking to Puget Sound Power and Light about the plans they have, too.
Potentially, yeah.
So we really need to look at what are there subjects that we think we all want to look at greater than these three utilities? And once we identify them, we can go to the council and say, do you want us to do something to do great? You know, Steve, I at some point would like us to talk about water service on an island basis, not just the utility of the city. Mm-hmm. But that's a different subject, a much broader subject. So, if it's a comment made, you know,
but and the final comment to make on of all the services on the island, the one I hear a lot about that is inadequate to the needs of the island is broadband and internet, and kind of looking ahead and so on. It's too slow or not provided, I think, or inadequate in various ways, and too expensive.
Anybody else want to comment on this? We'll put it on our news. I agree with you.
I think
most comments, the most complaints people have about utility service is like power outages, one of those.
all the power outages are always because of tree branches, not because there's inadequate transmission.
Okay, so let's go to stormwater here at Quarter Oak. How do we want to, we all got your book. We got Robert's comments. We're going to read the book and think about how we want to approach it. Yes. Mary, I'm going to turn to you.
So you're going to get the best punch for us here.
Also, I don't know if this is the same concept, so what's one of the things we're trying to get a feel for is kind of what you have an interest in, or at least the most interest in to get started with. So, just the my logical, you know, overly logical engineer mind on how to evaluate this is, and what I've tried to lay out in this book is. You know, there's a lot of questions that Robert's brought up and that are up front on just really the organization of the facility. You know, what is its scope? You know, the legal basis, the code, etc. And I put all that background in there, at least a very kind of cursory background. It's not in depth, but it just tries to hit. The applicable laws of, you know, the utility was formed, it's been authorized, we have authority in state code to opt, you know, to form a utility, we have authority in state code to charge rates, we have all those authorities are all lined up correctly with the city code, it's all been organized that way. There's some question, you know, I think there's a question about whether the scope is too broad or not, but the way it's currently defined, it includes what it includes. So I guess if you want to delve into those legal basis issues of is it organized properly, is it defined properly, is the scope of the utility legal, is the application of the rates legal, all those kind of questions, you know, I would need to bring in legal counsel. I'll bring in the city attorney, and if you want to go over those kind of things and you think it's important to make sure that foundation is strong before you even move on into anything else, then we could do that. So that's one question. I'm not going to be the one to probably answer those legal questions.
Barry, I think the question about that is, yeah. are there latent issues or there are issues that might be coming down the line that it would be important for the committee members to delve more deeply into those things? My sense is that's not the case.
It could be is if you get down further, as I try to lay out kind of the pieces, determining whether or not it's appropriate to charge or not charge something in the utility, or should this be included as part of the utility's expenses, or should we charge somewhere else, then it could, you probably would want to walk that back to, okay, well, what is the definition of the utility? Does it fit within how the utility is currently defined, how the ratepayers are classified, et cetera? So you might have to walk back to that at one point in time. To analyze whether or not the recommendation I might make on a discretionary issue potentially.
I actually have a more foundational question. I'm really looking at you and through you to the city manager. What do you folks think we ought to be looking at? What is the problem? What do I see those problems? There's lots of problems. What is the foundation? Is it that we don't have enough money? Is it that we're not spending the money properly? Is it that we should be doing something different with the money? Is it the rates? Because I'm really simplistic, which is you have a revenue source, you have expenses. We have revenue needs, we have expenses, and then we have an allocation of rates to get the revenue.
Right.
So which ones?
I was going to lay out, the program itself, I think there's a lot of questions about all pieces of it, but I guess in general, the utility is not under any kind of legal challenge, so I don't know that
right.
There's any legal
thing that we need to worry about at this point in time.
Nobody sued the utility. Maybe they will. So I guess I would say
I'm not willing. If you want to spend your time on that, we can.
Can I give you an example? Because I gave it to the city council, and I don't think he's going to, for example, are you willing?
As an example of what?
Okay, a legal situation. And it comes down a lot to the fire hydrants. The fire hydrants are a general government function, not a proprietary function. I'm not talking about transfer money, but you know that they weren't deciding that. In 2011, a group of people sued the city of Lewiston, Idaho, saying that the stormwater utility was being used as a tax rather than a fee-based utility. And I might add that as of 2010, 36% of the stormwater utilities have been challenged in the United States. They, of course, have overruled the utility and have found it for the people that challenge the utility. So there's some legal basis, and Andy should know this because he works in the utility lawyer area. So there's a basis of exceeding the scope. In the case of Lewiston, Idaho, it turned out to be a very simple question. I went to the Supreme Court. It was challenged. I went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court overthrew the utility, disbanded it, and ordered 2 years of refund on the utility. And it came down to street sweeping. He said street sweeping is a general government function, and they were paying for it out of the stormwater utility, just like we do, for the 80% of it. I think we now to the entire amount. And that simple little function of the utility, if somebody takes it to court, overthrew the entire utility. So I don't have any problem at all with the formation of the utility. It's perfectly legal. It was established initially by Washington State to control flooding, and we have gone way beyond that scope of what the law initially set up the stormwater utilities for. And some of that's probably okay, but I think most of the question, the legal question is, first of all, what is an MS4? What is a municipal stormwater system? And you've got to be able to answer that, I think, before you can even talk intelligently about what the storm utility should be paying. Because anything associated with the MS4, which is a good part of our storm utility, is fine. No problem paying with that. Where we get into questions of things like sweeping bicycle paths, maybe, or how does that benefit? And you also have to have a nexus to the reason for the fee of the utility. It's not like a tax where it can be used for any general purpose. It has to be for a specific purpose authorized by the state. And the fee is on the impervious surface. And so the question is, how do you pay for a, for example, we're doing beach surveys for leaking septic systems and paying for it with a stormwater utility. How does that relate to impervious surface? And the answer is it doesn't. And so the question is, should that be a general fund payment or should that be a SWIM payment? And that's what most of, I think, the problem with the SWIM is, besides
I kind of like to proceed with what Barry has for us. There'll be opportunities in the future. If you proceed, doesn't mean we don't go back.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see this go a little faster,
right,
so we can get what you want done,
right,
and we can have I don't think anybody thinks that if we begin to think we've got to delve back into legal issues or precedents of other utilities, legal conundrums, we can get there. But
so what I was going to try to do, big overall context, and then as these all these individual pieces come up, like what about the culverts and what about this? You need the context of what is that issue and why is it? It's not the first issue. It's not the biggest issue. It's not it's not an issue that we need to take
first.
You part.
Say in paragraph 3, and not everything currently included in the stormwater utility is required by the permit.
Right.
Is that old?
Right. There's a section, there's a whole chapter on mandatory versus discretionary programs.
Okay. So that's what he's getting.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Well, that's part of it. But there's a mandatory program and there's discretionary things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, when you get to the discretionary things, you can potentially need to walk back to the scope of the utility and the basis of it, whether that's appropriate or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so we have you know, programs, and there's mandatory things, like I mentioned, and most of those are all, you know, come from the NPDES permit. And I actually had it up online there. If you haven't seen it, you can get it online at the DOE website. It's pretty clear. But that's most of our program is mandatory based on the NPDES permit. And there's other parts of the program that are discretionary, and I try to lay those out. And so then what these all do, though, is these end up with, these are what we want the utility to do. These have been some things we have to do, some things we choose to do. And then they all end up in a cost. Every one of those things becomes a cost. And so you get your labor benefits, and your supplies, and your professional services, and then your city, you know, overhead charges, I would call them, I guess. Your city tax, you know. And then, over here you got discretionary things. And I would say that your CIP for this utility is nearly entirely discretionary. We have nothing in this permit or anywhere in the city that requires us to do a capital project. It's all discretionary. It's all based on our judgment on what we think is needed to run the utility. But there's no regulator saying we have to do a project. Nobody makes us do a project. It's our choice.
Okay, so.
And then as part of that, just to show, culvert projects are one subset of the CIP.
Okay, I guess semantics is where I'm having trouble. I understand you're saying mandatory is because there's a regulatory body saying you've got to do these things. But there's also what the utility's functions, why it exists.
Right.
And so while one may not call it mandatory, that's not discretionary, that's the purpose of the utility. I'm trying to think of it. There's a third group in here. There's optional activities and there's things you got to do to maintain the system,
right?
And service
right. But the first thing you cut, okay, when you don't have budget is this. You don't do CIP projects.
Well,
that's what happens.
Yeah, I know. That's maybe
because we have to have the labor. We have to do the things that the labor that's required under the NPDES.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
we can
debate that. So, but anyway, you end up with costs. An overall cost to run utility, and the way this utility is based, there's not a consumption component of it. You're not consuming water. You're not generating sewer. It's really just deciding what you're going to do, costing that out, and then allocating that. So basically, we have costs, and so then you're going to end up with an equation down here where you're going to have this cost has got to equal your revenue. It's an enterprise fund, so we have to raise enough revenue to cover these costs, and that means your mandatory programs, your CIP, and your other discretionary things. I'll put your water quality flow monitoring as one of the big ones there, and your Kitsap conservation district for the farms, and maybe your soils issue. A lot of those things, but either way, they all get costs out. These are the things we do now. So what I've put in this report is I've said we do all these things right now under the legal scope of this utility. We do these mandatory things. We do these discretionary things. They're all costed out. They're all in the report to show you how much labor benefits, etc. It's required to do those things. That then creates a revenue requirement, and then we hope then to your revenue requirement then equals a rate times a number of units
which is commonly known as ERUs.
And so basically, you're going to come down to an equation at the bottom. First, you've got to decide, what do you want the utility to do? What programs do you think are appropriate to continue to do and to continue to be charged to the utility? And what level of capital investment do we think is appropriate to be stewards of the utility and to provide the service that we think is appropriate for the city? And that's what I've tried to lay out. This is what our estimation is at this point. So this is the capital program. That creates a revenue requirement. And then there's a lot of discussion around here, but one of the biggest problems right now is the application and the calculation of the number of units, which the UAC actually took on several years ago, from 2011 or 12. They did a lot of study and came up with a detailed recommendation of this very last piece. But if you see, that's just the final calculation. Basically, how are we going to calculate the number of units to charge each property? You know, each house, each commercial property, the parks, the schools. Are we going to charge for, you know, the true hard surfaces, the roofs and the driveways and the sidewalks? Or are we going to include the softer surfaces, the lawns and the packed dirt and the cleared but not developed? You know, so there's a way there's a way that the code does that. I think we all agree, and I agree too, it's very confusing. It's not very easy to understand. There's some gray areas in there that have allowed too much subjectivity.
So, Barry, will you explain that a little bit more? So, I don't know what my stormwater utility rate is.
Well, so your home? Yeah, see, there's three rates, maybe four, but there's classes of property. And that's in your thing too. But basically, there's single family residences. So if you're a single family resident, you pay one ERU. That's the basis of an ERU. An equivalent residential unit is one house, basically.
$146.76.
$12.23 a month. But so every house, or a single house, is an equivalent residential unit, is one. So then it's estimated a very common conversion factor. And all these utilities is 3,000 square feet equals one house. A 3,000 impervious square feet. So, you know, basically an average house's roof, their driveway, their sidewalks, maybe their outbuilding or two, roughly 3,000 square feet of hard surface. So then that's an equivalent residential unit. But we don't go out and measure every house. Houses are all assessed one unit.
So an 800 square foot house or 20,000 square foot house.
You can debate that, but that's a very common practice. And then there's a rate for multifamily houses. So if you have a duplex or a triplex, then there's a rate for condominium units, and then there's a commercial and other rate. And that's the big ticket here. The commercial and other is everything. It's the schools, the businesses, the parks, farms, if they're not single-family residences. And so what we're supposed to do is measure or have a good calculation of how many ERUs are there. So you go up to Safeway, they have a huge roof and a huge parking lot, obviously. That gets measured and then divided by 3,000 square feet, and that's the number of units they have. So maybe they have 200 units.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do we get charged for this arm? What bill?
For what?
What bill?
This comes on your property tax bill.
Property tax.
So,
okay.
So it's, you pay it in two increments or one increment. You pay one increment.
So
it's on there with a noxious weed.
That's why if you're ever going to change the schedule now, it's just December because the property tax bill was determined.
And the reason we do that is because we don't have any utility bill that covers anybody else in the city because, you know, our water and sewer are small. It's the only bill that hits everybody. So anyway, then you have the number of units, and we have the current rates here. It's been this way, I don't know for how many years, but 23 per month, I think it is. And then that gets copied out. So, but to what we need to do in this exercise is, I think, is to analyze, okay, do we believe or we agree with these costs? Do we agree with this capital improvements recommendation? Do we agree that these programs are valid programs to be charged to the SWIM utility, or do we recommend they be charged to general fund, or do we recommend we don't do them at all anymore because we don't see the value, or whatever, you know, anywhere in between there? But basically, we've got to come down to a point where we say these are the programs that the committee recommends the SWIM utility still do. I mean, and then you can obviously you could drill down each one of those programs. You know, what is, you know, how many bodies do this? Is that an appropriate number of bodies? You know, in other words, is the labor correct? Are we spending too much labor? Do we believe it takes that much time? You know, I don't know how much time or energy you have to delve into that. But eventually, you have to decide on this is the program. It kind of just gets costed out from there. Labor and benefits and things are, you know, some of these lines are pretty minor. City utility tax is an item, and it's a sub cost in this whole equation. So you've already kind of made a recommendation there. That's one little piece.
Barry, where would something like this fit? Let's say we thought of something that it was beneficial to encourage porous drive surfaces and driving areas, you know, that the kind of
that comes,
surface.
Basically, that's come down here, what I would call this is kind of your rate design, basically.
But is that there yet?
Yes.
So if I want to build a great big driveway, yeah.
Well, it doesn't help a single family resident because you're not. Well, I guess there is still a credit for that.
Oh, okay. So it'd be commercial, but you could put in a porous surface of the approved
right.
environmental type, and
that's I think that's one of
and
the
even single family homes get credits for that.
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, those pieces are already in the.
Okay.
And I think even more of those pieces were recommended by the UIC last time about let's give credits for properties that are less intensely developed. So maybe you have 5,000 square feet, but you're on 10 acres, so maybe you should get some kind of credit for that. You know, that was part of the rate. You can get very complicated. So that's that's really just in here. And how are you going to calculate the units? How many units am I going to assign to a very dense development with 10 outbuildings on a half an acre, or I'm going to or one house on 10 acres, you know, should those be the same or not? But so right now, there are those credits for things like that, but that's here. So it's, once again, it's kind of at the bottom. Once you decide what your program is, how much you think it should cost, then you come up with a number of units. I mean, the problem here is, I guess, not a problem, but the challenge will be is even my assessment is under. Even under our current code and our current rate design, there seems to be a lot of holes. There's been fits and starts on things over the years. I don't think we have a good handle on really the amount of ERUs that are out there. That's why I put a couple of those attachments in there that showed here's the properties that are currently being charged and the number of ERUs. And then there's another attachment that shows here's the number of properties that aren't being charged anything. And I don't know, a lot of them could be undeveloped properties. You know, there are undeveloped properties that don't charge anything, but I suspect there are quite a few properties that aren't paying anything that probably have developed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the big ones are farms, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a big thing. A farm, the way the code is now, most of the farms are assessed as a single-family resident. Residents, so because they're private farms or hobby farms or whatever, and they might have a stable or a paddock and outbuildings and chicken coops and poop, greenhouses, all those kind of things. Lots of hard surfaces that shed water.
So there's a big recent farm that's been developed on the island and so on. Is that potentially only treated as one residential unit?
Well, I don't know. It depends.
Yeah,
it depends. Is there somebody living there? Is it strictly a commercial business? And I would hope that if it's a commercial business, it's all being charged as a business and it's been measured and it's being charged. But I think the problem is, like I said, the residential farms that kind of are a gray area. When did they switch over from being a residence to being a farm?
You know?
So to me, there are two big issues. is how much money should be distributed and spent.
Right.
And the second is, because that's your budget number, right now it's about $2 million.
Right.
Well, it's either spending or being allocated to utilities or something else, and that would be a utility. It's not going to sit with allocating to utility. And is that number $2 million proper?
Right.
And the second part of that is, okay, if that's the number we're going to use, how are we collecting? Right here, it's just dismissed. Now, the UAC 3 years ago was focused on this first because we didn't know enough about this. And we asked the people who were interested to really focus on revising this. So that's done. We submitted to the city manager and city council.
Well, the thing is, you know.
Well, it's not, it's just that they've
got everything.
But even, you know, even if they've done something, basically they've.
Right.
It's a chicken or egg thing almost because
you've got to
iterate it almost. Right. You've got to figure out, okay, change the rate here, multiply it out. Is it enough revenue? Oh, not quite enough. So you either got to make this higher,
right,
or you got to change this calculation, right, or you got to do, you know, you've got to iterate.
Or you've got to make farms have more ERUs.
There's equity issues here, units versus rate.
Right. So what they tried to do is make it what they thought was an equitable rate that seemed fair to everybody. We don't know what that would have meant as far as revenue. We never calculated that out.
So to me, you know, just so you guys know, there were UAC in the past got involved and was sort of arguing about whether some of the costs that were in the should have been paid for.
So the operation and maintenance has been discussed a few times.
Yes. So whether they should have been paid for the general fund or whether they should be paid for by the utility. Because, and also it's been apparent to everyone that the utility, as all this money is being raised, isn't spending anything on capital projects to improve the stormwater systems. And it seems like that's not good. And so we've all seen.
So it's collecting revenue for the city, but not necessarily doing any capital.
Here's the CIP.
Because the cost to do these things up here and these other things we've chosen to do other than capital is more than the revenue.
Yeah.
Or is okay. it doesn't leave enough to do much of this.
And the classic argument, just so you know, the classic argument was whether the professional service budget is being used to pay for water quality monitoring. It wasn't required. It wasn't mandatory.
And should the CIPs be done instead?
And should the money be spent on parks or stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. So I personally think.
What's the KCD? The Kitsap
County? It's a conservation district.
I personally think the most important thing for us to do is to focus on the expense side, so we can have a better understanding of what is being charged to the utilities, so we can do some things to understand that.
But expense in the context of function.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sitting. I don't want to get into some of the arguments we got into before, whether the allocation of the particular building was appropriate or not. I want to get involved in whether this function is being appropriately.
Because if you get into the units thing, you think it's too specific and that we should let the experts think about that.
Well, I just don't see that we're qualified to determine whether it's half an FTE or a quarter of an FTE.
Yeah, we're up here in the expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. But, so I think I understand what you're saying, but it seems to me there's another issue. There's cost. And then there's this sort of equity of the units.
That's the revenue
side. Right.
Here's the budget.
So, but it's not just 20 total, whatever the revenue requirement is, it's how it's allocated. Who?
Yes, but I see it with the budget. Here's the budget that they're interested for. And we are. The expenses are $2 million.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then you get up to where they've got revenue. And we revenue side is this. So kind of which one do you want to focus on first? The revenue side or the expense side? I'd rather focus on the expense side first.
I agree.
Before you make a final change in this, you got to look and see.
You got to come up with a final cost.
You got to see whether we're going to get enough money to pay for the expenses. If we're not, we got to go back and see if we're going to have to cut the expenses one way or another. But to me, the question is are we spending money to do the things that we have to or want to do? And then what does that add up to? Is it $2 million?
So if we're doing the water quality, we might not be able to do the CIP project. So should we not do the water quality and do the CIP? But and then I think Robert had something about horse farms and stuff. So is there an appeals process for these people that might think it's inequitable?
But that's usually with the appeal of we don't think the measurement's correct, or we think
somebody else is paying more than me or less than me.
Well,
it's
not that.
It's the measurement of the impervious surface.
Which is kind of the whole basis of what we're talking about the parks. Now they don't agree with how it's being calculated, but we're mm-hmm. working through it. But that's really just determining the number of units.
For us new people, like the questions Nancy's raising, is are there sort of, this is what I don't know, issues that are out there about, that it's way too expensive, we're not getting value, and things ought to be eliminated, changed, or whatever, or are we searching out the cost? So always be better to be more efficient and look at all those costs and all of that. But I guess the background question is there some sense that's a problem, a significant problem, or is it the normal problem that we ought to look because we ought to make sure we're being as efficient as we can and we're doing the things we ought to be doing? Or is there some controversy there?
I've seen some controversy.
Some people think that the city management allocates too much of the cost of the city to the utilities in general.
So that would be kind of
the
subcomponent of cost.
And it's the classic. He's got an engineer in his department. And will allocate 20% or 80% of his time to the snowboard, so 20% to the gym.
How much time do I spend on swim? Well, right now I spend quite a bit, but probably I only get allocated 5% or something because I've got a lot of other things. But, it goes up and down, and, it's an allocation. It's an estimation of what.
But I think the more overriding question is, going back to what Barry said earlier, when you turn on your faucet, water comes out, and you can associate that water bill with the cost of making that possible, same with sewer. But storm water seems to go where it wants to go in terms of what it does, and that's the question, is what is it doing it, why is it doing it, because it's not a tax, it's a fee, and we're paying a fee for a service. So what services are we getting, and are those the ones we want to get?
And it's been made more difficult because before the NPDES permits came down, we started requiring off on soft things like public education. Before that, you knew what you got because you got culverts and ditches and things that you could see.
Yeah, but educating people not to dump cranky soil in the water system.
Exactly.
I do like those medallions. I think it does make you.
But also investigate people who allegedly have done that and follow up with them.
In addition, isn't there not an element of the kind of public safety, disaster, flooding issues related to this that are not related to the sewer and water utility, or are there? For instance, if you don't adequately do this, a house could be flooded, right?
Right. Well, that's really just, once again, in guidance here. I mean, there is some of that in here, too, in the general day-to-day maintenance of keeping drains clear and catch basins open, you know, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with the CIP, and that's where we've tried in our capital needs assessment, looked at culverts, looked at deep culverts, looked at old culverts that have issues, and tried to identify or prioritize what we think are the highest priority, mainly drainage issues, you know, that would create flooding and slides or whatever that could happen. So that's really kind of in here.
See, part of it, I guess, if you remember, the very first one that came to Jeff pointed out the $200,000, it's not a culvert,
right.
The big project up on Sunrise.
It's that's a culvert.
Mm-hmm. The giant culvert.
Right.
The monster
culvert. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's only required because you've got some fish issues at Penny. Mm-hmm. So we could have either spent $200,000 on that one monster, or we could have done 20 small ones for $10,000.
What made it a monster, though?
We're talking about a subset here, but very briefly, there's a Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife has a map of all culverts in the state that are classified as fish bearing or streams. I would say fish bearing streams. So the streams are typed, and a type F stream is fish bearing. That means somebody in the past has surveyed it and said there's fish there, or potentially it's been surveyed and determined that the habitat could support fish, if not for a fish blockage culvert or some other obstacle. So anyway, for some reason, that stream became a fish-bearing stream. I don't know exactly how, but it's on a flood map as a fish-bearing stream.
We didn't determine it because the state did, and then we wanted to replace that culvert.
They take data from a lot of people. They take data from various interest groups, and you know, almost any, you know, they'll, and you can dispute that. There's an appeal process.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's classified as a fish bearing culvert. Yeah, I mean a fish bearing stream. We, the city, had a need to replace that culvert because it was damaged, failing, threatening the road. So we chose to go in and do a CIP project to replace that culvert because it was a fish bearing stream. Fish and Wildlife requires it to be a fish-bearing culvert. That's what we put in.
And you didn't appeal that?
No. So we are under the mode of complying with the law, not fighting.
So there's a cost issue. And that's where the CIP comes in.
Well, you're also going to get a cost for appealing it, too.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. So that's a city choice there, too. We choose, or at least our direction now, is to try to comply, receive permission, get a legal permit, and do the project. Not
opposed to data.
They can change that policy too. Okay,
so this is helpful.
Very helpful.
The question is, what do we attack first, and how do we proceed?
I don't know. I mean, I got my specific bullets that I'm be anxious to get to at some point, but.
Well, that's a question, because I too have gone through this, and it's pretty dense, even though you've done a nice job. You did, but it's pretty dense. So, an option is we. The next time, go chapter by chapter. Say
questions.
Rather than focus on make a choice, are we going to take up? You know, we're going to take up the same view. We're going to pull inside. We take up the allocation. What are we going to do?
I tried to read this, and I think I need somebody to kind of walk me through it because, if that's where. You know.
So by chapter for chapter, you mean this week we did introduction, next week we do utilities?
Yeah.
Well, you regulate the pace based on how important it is. There's some parts of this we can go quickly.
There's eight chapters there. I think it's...
But we don't spend exactly one-eighth of the time on each chapter. Yeah, and then one...
So maybe we got through three chapters?
No.
Okay.
Actually, the longer one is the management chapter, which is
that's
the one where the management
goes. So that's the meat of what we do right now. Here's the pieces of things.
That is
not the program.
So chapters 3, 4, and 5 are the meat of what it is to do.
So should we read the first 3 for next time?
Well,
homework.
Or reread them.
I have one of them. I mean, should we actually
read 3 too? I actually think it's
so stormwater management is actually 4, not 6, right?
Yeah, it's 4, yeah. you got 2 6s.
Yeah. The dyslexic on Roman numerals?
Roman numerals.
I can tell you that I think if we talk about chapters 4 and 5, 1, 2, and 3 are basic background. 4 and 5 are the meat.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they'll bring us back to potentially 3, the legal requirements, as we talk about 4 and 5. We go, well, why do we do that? And then we'll come back, well, because it says here, this is what we have to do for our permit, or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think that gives context to the legal.
If we have to do 4 and 5, the programs next time, and then the one after that, you could do the CSP thing, the capital programs. And the one after that, we could talk about the income side, the financial business. I think that's probably.
And then, yeah, and then.
So we're doing 4 and 5 for next time.
Right.
Ooh, we're going to be busy. You're right, Betsy.
Right.
4 and 5. They're longer than 1, 2, and 3.
They're on the meter.
The financials.
Yeah,
we really can't get the financials.
Right. Or is there something we can cut? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the discretionary things are always discretionary.
So, all
right, so let's plan the next time. We're about to quit down now. I wonder if you think you're going to want to bring us into the sewer or the water.
Well, I would think the sewer is.
Which one's first?
I've already looked at that for the last couple of weeks. We've got our staff comments. I have a good book, the draft book, so I can sort of read it and send it back with the staff comments. So I think we should do that. We've done, you know, sort of like January or coming up, December, going to be probably going to be one of the, you know, I'll say, pretty quick.
And that's going to be this big
positive. But you know, they have a lot of charts,
right.
A lot of data.
Unless you get ahead of yourself.
And that's
a lot of problems.
And that's a lot of, there's some really substantive stuff.
Is that a sewer thing?
Sewer pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an island pipe.
Well, it's just a sewer.
No, it's something to do with the service centers, though.
Because it has to do with service.
Well, yeah, they did look at the 2 service centers. Right. There is an analysis of how those could be served and what it would cost.
That's one. And there's a service center being Island Center.
Mm-hmm. Rolling Bay.
Rolling Bay.
And Linwood.
Linwood was also part of the service. So one of the issues was potential sewer service to Island Center in Rolling. So that's what we're figuring out.
And then expanding or what? How we expand.
Why those areas? Because they have
business? They're designated for commercial development. Okay. And,
in the comp plan, you look at it, those are designated as neighborhood services centers.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore they have potential.
Potentially.
So you send out an email so Emily knows that we're supposed to be reading 4 and 5. Be prepared to talk to 4 and 5.
Oh, yeah.
We're presumed to have read 1, 2, and 3.
So right now, let's talk about the agenda next time. The only thing on our agenda next time is 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we want to pick up Steve's comment about what other things should we be doing.
I think we're so overwhelmed. We can talk about Steve's comment.
Well, there's...
No, I understand, but I don't know where you're going to put it in.
There's this thing, you know, in human activity where you have, this won't be very long, you know, you've got urgent, not urgent, you've got important, not important, you know, so we have urgent and not important stuff, we have
urgent and important stuff, and we've got we've got important, not urgent stuff. And you know, that's the question: does this group ever get to something that's important, but it's not urgent, it's not just brought by the time of day, but is the kind of thing that 20 years from now somebody will say,
it should have been, you know, thank God they did it, or.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, the two urgent and important things are the two components.
Yeah, urgent and important. Because you got to get on.
We've been done, and we're finally the consultant foundation. We're going to have a small window. We, the candidate, have a small window to deal with them before they go on to the council. And
but we could get to broadband after that.
Yeah, I don't think it's important, but not urgent. You know. Or at least I think it is. And I think the important question is not did we actually do it, it's that we consider whether we ought to be this committee and we ought to get engaged on that. So that's cool.
And are you looking for more competition in broadband?
Well, the service is terrible and the competition, it's a monopoly.
Yeah.
So we're being charged, and there's plenty of examples. There are plenty of examples around the world and around this state of communities who do it better, and there are models to do it better. And you can have South Korea to Tacoma, you know, as places where they do it a lot better. And it's a vital service, absolutely vital service. And look at the profile of this community. You know, we need it.
Can we? So thank you. What we're doing is doing background education. We talked about this. For us to really tackle students, we're talking about background education this fall, so we can really tackle it next year. So that's, I think we keep plugging away the next time to 4 and 5, but also is we got to get ready to sewer and water. Can you give us half the sewer plant, the background stuff, so we can begin to educate ourselves rather than get dropped the whole thing?
Well, yeah.
Because the plan, those plans that are table of contents were mandated by the city. And a lot of it is simply background information.
Oh, yeah. And climate.
Everything from climate to the nuts and bolts of the system and stuff that would be, we could read it.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of thing, by the way, if somebody said, let's 2.5 months from now, let's have a meeting or two where we go into those things, or annually, we always take a little bit of time to look into the.
To broaden.
Well, yeah, or the unexplored areas of service, because they're important, but not urgent. And every...
get that in the schedule this year.
Every Veterans Day we look at them.
As soon as we get our other three committee members, we can have a subcommittee on broadband.
There you go.
All right, so we're down at 7:30. Let's next time we'll move forward to 5.
Do you hit it home?